Forever Dog.
When your town has let you down, when your porch has fallen short, when you're too worn out to run and need some ribs or a Cinnabon, you need a place for rock, a place for roll, a place where Oakland Raiders merch is sold, a Sublime Hot Topic and Billabong, a place where you can purchase a candy thong. So let's go take a walk. Let's all go to City Walk tonight.
Podcast The Ride presents The City Walk Saga, a daily, 19-part, extremely necessary series exploring the stores, restaurants, and wonderful magic that make up Universal City Walk Hollywood.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, The City Walk Saga, Sector 17. I'm Jason Sheridan, here as always, Mike Carlson.
Hi, I'm here too.
And Scott Gardner.
Hello, we're cresting the hill. We've almost made it.
Yeah, that's true.
We're so close to the end of this. Joining us today, writer on People of Earth and the upcoming NBC show, I Feel Bad, Nick Mondernach.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Welcome. I am so excited to talk about this sector with you guys.
I think you got a great one.
I got a great one.
And it's an interesting one because this one is entirely Fallen Brothers.
Yes.
All things that aren't there anymore, including one that was very recently demolished. Mm-hmm. Now the building of one is still around, so there's remnants of all of it, but it's all experiences you can no longer have, and we're relying on your memories.
It's a haunted episode. It's a haunted episode.
Speaking of haunted,
boys,
he's with us.
Hello.
You never know.
It's
when
the sector keeper. He's back.
Boys, how are you?
Well, you came in your iconic way of no sound or interesting ghostly way of appearing. We just turn and you're there.
Yes, my soul is feeling fulfilled. Thank you. You're at Sector 17.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, you're feeling good because we're almost there. And so many stones have been... Well, you give us the stones.
Yes, I send them USPS because sometimes I can't make it. You know I have a job, right?
Oh, really?
You mentioned your job.
I'm still working at the admissions gate in heaven, in hell.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But hopefully my skills apply in heaven when you save my soul.
I'm glad you remembered from the 3 days ago, because the last 3 days have been a fog.
Of course.
When you escape, are you going to try to get a job at City Walk?
If you'll give me a reference.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I have a connection. My older brother used to sell light up swords there at City Walk. I'd love to, but I could totally hook that up.
No higher praise.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. No kidding. How long did he hold that down?
This is an easy summer. I think he did just like a summer of it, and yeah, you just had like just a bag of those like neon glow swords. I think he had a blast.
Excellent. You've given me so much strength that being at Sector 17. Banjo Kazooie, Y2K Bug.
Oh,
all these things you missed. They're coming to you now.
In Salt Lake City. Thank you, boys. Thank you.
Oh, you're seeing all the pop culture you missed.
Yes,
wonderful.
You're giving me great strength.
Is it? And it's giving. You're enjoying it. It's giving you joy.
Yes. You know what would bring me greater joy? The Sector 17 stone. Would you like your assignment?
Well, yes. Yeah. Give us the places, and we'll get you that stone, or we'll get it from you, rather.
You remember how it works?
Yes, yeah, I sure do. We all remember. Sector 17, Gibson Amphitheater, Saddle Ranch, and Marvel Mania.
Some ghostly phlegm in your throat.
It's an amphitheater. I think you put an L in there.
Yes, I was.
Even human flaws are coming back to you.
Yes, it's very nice.
That's great. You're becoming so human. Yeah.
I can't wait to sprain my ankle again.
You wouldn't think that's something you would miss.
No, but being you a do ghost. As a ghost.
You sprained your ankle, and that's how you drowned in the fountain.
No,
you sprained
I didn't drown.
It.
I died of a staph infection.
Oh, right. But it forced remember. You to fall down.
Yes.
I think
yes.
that's what I was thinking of. It forced you to fall down, and you were like, you couldn't get up for you're a while, right. so you're no. exposed to more water than the average child in the
yes.
fountain.
Yes, you're right. You're right. The water filled my lungs, inducing the coma. But boys, let's... Let's focus.
Yeah, where do we begin? I guess well let's kick it off with the Gibson Amphitheater.
Yeah.
So this was the concert venue that was at Universal for many years, I believe opened in the 70s, mm-hmm. and it apparently was part of the tour. It was like the slope and the seats. It was outdoors, first of all, mm-hmm. to begin with, and it was for stunt shows, I think. But those are only used during the day, and supposedly some employee who was probably not compensated properly for the idea he said, "Why don't we have bands come play at night?" And with the kickoff of Jesus Christ Superstar in, I want to say 1972, though I could be wrong, it became one of LA's great concert destinations until it closed down mm-hmm. For the Harry Potter experience to be right. opened up.
It's funny, when I started going through it, like, I think by the end, the acts kind of like whittled down a little bit, and I was like mm-hmm. so ready to laugh, but they actually had huge like mm-hmm. Yeah. like Radiohead toured there, I think. Yeah. they had pretty some pretty massive acts. Oh, here's one that I thought was so interesting. The Dalai Lama was
really
the wow. Dalai Lama came and did like and did like, you know, a talk or whatever that is. So I love the idea that the Dalai Lama was at City Walk for like a day wow. and night or something mm-hmm. like that, walking around.
And were people like scalping tickets
yeah.
for it?
Yeah. Dalai totally. Lama and
stuff. Who opened for him?
Yeah.
Jeff Dunham.
Right.
Stemming from that, you might have found in the same list a similar area. Pope John Paul II also spoke at the Gibson Amphitheater, at that time, the Universal mm-hmm. Amphitheater. He was doing a tour of LA and did mass at Dodger Stadium, apparently.
Yeah.
And he did this special event at the Universal Amphitheater. Really glad I came across this right before we recorded. It was an event where you could be there in mm-hmm. person and see the pontiff with your own eyes, but also this event was simulcast to similar sized venues all across the country, in St. Louis and Denver, and using satellite technology, all these cities were uplinked and able to experience the Pope all at the same time. And the name of this event was Papal Space Bridge 87.
Wow. That's one way of describing like internet technology and broadcast.
Yeah, what essentially is a conference call yes. today was regarded as a space bridge.
Space bridge. That's like Thor's rainbow bridge that two realms are connected yes. by. That Heimdall is the one responsible the guardian for guarding. And a space bridge. That's yes. crazy. That's such a fun name too.
Mm-hmm.
The Sector Stone will open the space bridge for me to go to heaven.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's what'll take you back. Yes. Yes. Off of the love radiating from mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II, who's left this mortal yeah. coil, right, but he's in heaven.
You'll meet
yes,
him.
He'll be my guide.
Oh wow.
And
that's
you'll beautiful. Be it'll yes. as you cross the bridge, it'll be playing the anthem of City Walk, Gasolina.
Yes.
John I believe Paul we established song. Also John Paul II's favorite song.
Daddy Yankee will drive me in a golf cart.
There was a part of the I bet now it's his favorite song, but I bet as of Papal Space Bridge 87, his favorite song was the song played for him on guitar by a man with no arms who played with his feet. That happened at Papal Space Bridge 87 yeah. at the Universal Amphitheater.
That happened at Papal Space Bridge 87, but also happened at Hoover School, the elementary school I went to in 1993.
Hoover School 93. Mm-hmm. Was it the same yeah. Guitarist?
It had to be, right?
Yeah, there couldn't have been so
maybe
many.
Maybe he's the space bridge. Maybe he's really what is uniting us all. His music and...
His guitar spirit. Is like Heimdall's sword that unlocks the bridge.
Yes.
So there's hardly any events more special than Papal Space Bridge, but did mm-hmm. you guys get to... I grew up in LA, so I saw some stuff there, and Nick, I imagine you did too. But
yeah, I'm a Valley kid, so I was there. I'm actually shocked that I didn't. I looked through these.
Really?
I was like, how did I miss All American Rejects seems to have been there every other weekend.
Sure.
4 years. And I love, like so many, like, pop punk, which is, like, totally what I was into. I can't believe I missed that, but...
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I have a friend. My friend Perry, I think, snuck backstage and, like, we had a Weezer thing.
Yeah.
And got to, and, like met her, like, got pictures of it. It might have been great. Weezer and Tenacious D touring together, mm-hmm, possibly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were great concerts there.
I saw Weezer there. Not on that tour, but on the, when they were touring their famous albums, their classic albums, Blue and Pinkerton. Mm-hmm. First night they would do Blue album, second night they would do Pinkerton. I only went to Pinkerton. I was trying to save money at the time, and Pinkerton being my favorite album of theirs.
Oh, gotcha.
And it was very, they did half of the new Weezer and then half old Weezer, where Rivers dressed up like he did when he was 22. And
he played dressed
really? Oh, wow.
So the first, yeah, so Weezer was going through a phase where they had Josh Freese, who was a famous kind of drummer who played with, like, everyone from, like, Nine Inch Nails to, I forget, he was playing with the Replacements.
Was he in with, like, the Queens of the Stone Age world?
He's played with everybody. He was playing drums. They took Pat from Weezer off the drums. He was playing guitar. Rivers was not playing any guitar. He was just being a slick front man. Hmm. And he had a trampoline on stage, and he would jump up and down, and, like, to the point where you would be like, he's going to fall and hurt himself. Like, he's just, like, kind of this, like, guy, like, very stilted with his arms in the air, and, like, you're like, what is this?
I don't think coordinated when I think of Rivers. I'm not thinking, like, yeah.
I saw him do Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he had, like, a ukulele for no reason, and he, like, started smashing it, and you're, like, getting the sense that he's out of control. But the first part of it, he's just on the mic, and they played stuff like Suzanne, which is one of the best songs, which is great, and then there was, like, an intermission, and he came out, and he was old, and now Pat was back on the drums. He was wearing his, like, sweater vest again, like, mm-hmm, he was in the mid-90s, and then they just did Pinkerton all the way through, which was great, but it was very weird that he played Rivers, like, cosplay.
Yes!
He cosplayed as himself on the show.
My theory, I've said this to you not on the podcast, is that Weezer is our Beach Boys.
Right.
They're the band, like, he will dye his hair black, he will still be wearing sweaters progressively bigger and bigger as he gains age and weight. Rivers is not going anywhere until he's 87 years old. And they'll start doing, it'll be the Christmas album, we do Pinkerton again, but with an orchestra.
They have, like, a cruise ship, but, like, there's a Weezer cruise to, like, absolutely light up your point. Like, yeah, that's...
They're in the cruise world.
They're in
boy.
The cruise world.
Here's a bit of Weezer trivia. I don't know if you know this. You know their big hit, their smash hit new song, Africa? That the public has embraced so thoroughly. Africa, actually, they didn't write.
Really?
Africa was this older band called Toto in the 80s, and my parents saw them at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Oh, really?
in 82, but one of the first concerts with the enclosed with the roof,
right?
Which it was outdoor before.
That was the year it got enclosed. 82.
One of the first things, and I'm very jealous of my parents for having seen Prime Toto 82 and for free, apparently, because I forgot. I haven't brought this up in any of these sectors yet, that my mom worked at Universal the early 80s. She was an accountant in what was, like, this big towering black skyscraper there at the TED that's now, like, the smallest building on the property. Mm-hmm. But everybody went for free. And they also went to one other concert. I think maybe the first concert my parents saw together at all, possibly while dating, was the first concert with a roof, Frank Sinatra. And there was a moment that my dad's reminded me of my whole life from this concert, where Sinatra is setting up a song, and he says, "All right, this one's one of the classics. This is some real music you're about to hear. Not like that Betty Davis eye shit." Furious
at Kim Carnes,
which I developed the theory that maybe he's mad at Kim Carnes because he, like, tried to roofie her or something, and then but she like put a coaster on top of the glass just in time, and he didn't get to
like a buddy took her away when he wasn't looking, like was like, hey, gotta get out of here,
save yourself. Yeah, somebody in Frank's camp betrayed him, and like, I know things you can't know, get out of here, Kim.
The first few years of gambling being legal in Atlantic City in Jersey, Frank Sinatra kind of had the run of the place. Like Steve Wynn,
gave
him the exclusive contract and stuff, and they would just let him gamble at all hours. There's a story, I think, in there's a Dean Martin book. There's a story of the two of them wanting to play cards and like going to the tables in Atlantic City. Where one of them was doing a residency and demand it. Like, we want the dealer to deal by hand, which is like very illegal at casinos. That's why you got to do the machines. Whoa. And like the dealer's like, and the pit boss is like, oh, it's Frank Sinatra. You got to do it. And he was an asshole about it.
Roommate.
Oh, what's really?
That? Roommate.
You know
Frank
him up
Sinatra
there?
Is my roommate in hell.
You get him?
Yes, we room together.
It's weird that he has to share the space, but I guess it's hell and you're being punished. Mm-hmm. So, has he changed his ways? Is he?
No, he's still a son of a bitch.
This is absolutely true. Also, in my family history, and I don't think I've said this on the podcast before, one of the stranger stories in my family's history, my grandfather wrote for, Modern Screen magazine or some like a 50s entertainment magazine, and he wrote something unflattering about Frank Sinatra, and Sinatra sent thugs to his residence to dangle him over a window. And nothing happened. He wriggled out of it, but one day he opened the door and Sinatra's guys were there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my grandfather. I've always thought, like, if that had gone the other way, maybe my mom isn't born. Maybe I'm not born. Maybe I'm a lost soul, just like the sector keeper. If Sinatra had gotten.
So you have you want to send Frank a message via the sector keeper.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, I can pass it along.
Yeah.
Now we have a whiteboard on our fridge.
Fuck off, chairman. Scott, that should get the job done.
You gotta be careful. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm gonna run into him. And what if the sector keeper let's cut a deal here. Just please promise you won't like introduce us if I end up in hell.
Sure, no.
And if we don't get you out, I mean, I have every intention of getting you out.
Of course, if you get all of the sector stones, I won't send the ghost of Frank Sinatra after you.
Oh my God. We really have cause to do this right. Because now my soul is at stake. He's going to get... I didn't get my boys didn't get their hands on your grandpa. It's Frankie's revenge.
You know what's so funny to me? I was just reading... Someone posted a tweet or something about these rap music, we're worshiping these thugs. It's so funny because I guarantee you that guy would be like, not like Frank Sinatra these days.
Frank Sinatra, the man bankrolled by the mob.
Yeah, exactly.
By the outfit itself.
What are you talking about? Is your...
A man that I heard Donald Trump tell a story that he was horrified by. Trump was like, yeah, I was hanging
the
out
with... The man with no shame.
I was hanging out with Sinatra, and a man, this is on an old Howard Stern show, he goes, yeah, and a guy, we were in Vegas, and a guy came up to him and was like, Mr. Sinatra, I just got married. To your music, we danced to your music as the first song, and Sinatra goes, get him boys, and he just had the shit kicked out of this guy. and Trump is telling a story, and Trump's like, yeah, like you can tell Trump is put off by this, one of the most terrible men and
vile
vile man is like, that guy was a little crazy, huh?
Oh my God, sector keeper, has he hurt you?
Boys.
That means yes.
Tell me about the Gibson.
All right, we'll stay away.
Thing that sticks out in my mind, and I don't think I went to this, but this was where Conan did his live tour before he had his TBS show, but after the Tonight Show, he played the Gibson Amphitheater, which is spitting distance from the soundstage built for him to host the Tonight Show. Right. So, it's probably his first time back on Universal property, and he is doing a sold, a packed show. around the corner from where he had just been fired. And
Zucker
from.
Is clenching his fists.
Zucker.
Ooh, how dare he?
Yeah.
I thought I exiled him. He was banished and now he's spitting on my very turf.
Yeah.
Jeff Zucker, who now is at CNN and, mm-hmm. and Trump is like shitting on, he's calling him like little Jeff.
Right.
He's getting the Trump business. So in this case,
Little Jeff, remember he was using the D's?
Oh,
he was calling him little what's his name, Corker.
Oh, really?
Right.
Trump was using the most condescending.
He wasn't just writing little. He would write LIDD. Like, wasn't it Bob Corker he was goofing on?
Oh, maybe.
Like, he was like little Bob Corker. He was calling him.
That's Trump.
And he's used that before, right? Wasn't it Marco Rubio?
Little Marco.
You can't use the same. What the?
He's run out of. Really great.
He's
Conan.
There you go.
He says like three. He just cycles through.
If he ever decides to have like a punch up room of name generators, though I don't support the man. That'd be a fun gig. If you could think of mean names. Mm.
It's you and Dennis Miller and Dan Manin.
The millennial comedian?
Yeah.
Gavin McGinnis.
The
former Proud Boys.
Gibson was also the home for a long time of the MTV movie. The Movie Awards and the Teen Choice Awards?
Mm-hmm.
This is famously, we've mentioned him before, Sacha Baron Cohen. His friend Bruno was there.
His associate Bruno
fell on Eminem.
Oh, the second mention of this on our podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where that famous accident occurred.
That famous accident.
Yes.
The butt to face, wasn't it? Wasn't it like?
Yes.
Yes.
And all of D12 got mad and left. In a totally spontaneous moment. Mm-hmm.
Headed for the Purple Hills.
Hmm. Jason, did you ever see a concert at Gibson?
No, never. Mm-hmm. I never saw it at the Amphitheater.
Real brief, the only other thing I saw there, a free concert it wasn't free. I saw it for free. Put on by The Shins.
Hey, it's second Shins mention.
Another return.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny.
We talked about the Garden State earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. The Sector Keeper, you should listen to this band. They're called The Shins. They change your life, I swear.
The Shins?
Shins. Do you remember how body parts work? That's a thing you could injure. You could twist your shin.
Yes, yes.
It's also the name of a band, and they are so good that they could change your life, I swear.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. I'll check them out when I ascend to heaven.
When you get all your memories back.
Thank you. I think they'll
give you strength. The other things I saw there, in 2005, I saw Beck two nights in a row on the Aguero tour. That was fantastic.
Oh, sure.
And my dad dragged me to a concert in 1998 that I was all harumphy about and probably like a real jerk during it, like, I have to go with my dad to this lame concert instead of the rap I like, instead of Busta Rhymes. And this concert that I frowned and crossed my arms through the whole time in 1998 was Chicago and Hall & Oates.
Oh my God.
Wow.
This is my exact wheelhouse today.
Yeah.
I've seen both of them multiple times. I made a video with Chicago.
Wow.
This is I'm bored and mad in a Chicago concert in 1998, and then how many years later? 13 years later, I did a video with the band for Funny or Die, and I got to say, "Hey, Chicago, meet my dad."
Oh, great! Mm.
Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's awesome. Many years after the fact, I feel like that made up for what a like little jerk ass I was. But I'd love to see that concert.
I have a Chicago story.
Boy. Now we're talking.
The trumpet player from Chicago went to my church, and I basically
can I name it? Trumpet is Pankow.
That might I literally do not know.
You're schooled, Nick, by Scott.
Scott fucking taking me to task. This is my dream for this.
Yes.
Well, was it Parizade or Lofney or Pankow?
Pankow. We'll say Pankow. Let's go Pankow.
I learned their names because I had to block them.
Oh,
I had to arrange them. It's very hard to move eight people around at once.
But what I was playing, I did like half-ass trumpet through middle school and high school.
Yeah,
hated it. Like I just like I would just like pretend to play a lot of the time because it hurt my teeth. And I played. I did play at the church, and it became clear that my mom had like. Was friends with or like talked to the trumpet player and wanted him to come and encourage me to continue to play. So I played, but I blew it. I mean, I forgot the solo. I just like I fucked up. I was like, my armature was all fucked up. It was like it was all. So he came up afterwards. He's like and clearly like wanting to like support me, but knowing that it would never happen. And he just was kind of dancing around it, like playing trumpet. All right.
Wow!
Nice. Like, but he had nowhere to go. They had nowhere. Just honestly, it is the most honest thing. But it was just him, like clearly, like being asked to bolster me and not being able to in good faith.
Oh man!
Oh my god! That's awesome. And he, it sounds like he didn't like force a compliment.
No, he didn't force a compliment again. And I have always respect. This is a story of respect. Where he's just like, yeah, all right. But there's nothing else to say. Like, what else could you talk about? So it was just I just had an awkward like 3 minutes of him just going like, right on.
Whoa! I think it's Lofney, this blonde guy. Does that seem right?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. That's it.
Lee Lofney. He was one of the nicest guys.
Very nice
in the shoot. They were all very nice, but those horn guys, especially. And you're like, wow! I can't believe you guys are here. You guys are legends. Hey, it's been a crazy ride. That kind of just like pleasant. It was. Cool. I'm so. My Chicago day was very special to me. I'm sorry. I feel like mine went better than yours.
Yeah, definitely. But even at the time, I was like, this is the right thing to do. You should not, do not encourage my lack of talent. Don't do it.
Yeah, he'd say, well, yeah, you're a working, successful comedy writer now, as opposed to twice divorced trumpeter. Yes,
I mean, in a ska band, in like a garage ska band. Or something.
just failing out.
Right.
Congrats. You made it out of that alive.
Yes.
Any other memories of the amphitheater? We mentioned this because it was replaced by Harry Potter, and I think some of the foundation stayed. I think they kept some of the infrastructure of the building.
Right.
I'm not totally sure, but I said this in the Harry Potter episode, but I think it's a shame that they had to tear down the place where the greatest album of all time was recorded, the Blues Brothers' Briefcase Full of Blues.
Ooh.
I feel like it should stay up as a historic monument. I'm mad at the Harry Potter ride. I go on it, but I shout, "What about the Blues Brothers?" Mm-hmm. Every time. Oh, and also the last Blues Brothers concert was there.
Oh, right.
Several years later.
Mm.
Yeah. So blues heads, a lot of history here. Should I maybe keep talking about the Blues Brothers for way longer?
Why don't we continue the music discussion though,
mm-hmm.
and jump on over to Saddle Ranch?
Yes, please, boys.
Saddle Ranch was the final restaurant occupying this space, but certainly mm-hmm. not the first.
Mm-hmm. No, well, this is a very exciting area. Now the building is gone entirely, and I'm not sure why, and I don't know what's going in there.
Well, but I know the rumors about it.
Oh, really? Do you have mm-hmm. anything you can say?
Sure. But there's message board rumors that the Toothsome Chocolate Factory is going right where the Saddle Ranch, giant rip-off Willy Wonka dessert restaurant that's in Orlando already, might be going where Saddle Ranch is.
Very popular chocolate emporium, and also like savory
there are
treats,
sweets and savory mm-hmm. anything you would want.
Yeah,
pretzels
the
and
whole
candy.
Thing smells wow. like chocolate. So when you order a plate of mozzarella sticks
wow.
or wonton nachos or something, you will not stop smelling that chocolate odor.
Yeah, so I like that they're keeping up the tradition of that space, which is just quick closures, just like you're spending millions of dollars creating a brief anecdote.
It adds up to being mentioned on a podcast briefly.
Yes. Okay, so I have a full list here. Okay. When it initially opened, it was called Womp Humper's Wagon Works Restaurant.
Yep.
That was, and the backstory of this, do you know the backstory, Scott?
Yeah, I do.
It was about a Flim Flam man who found a good line selling people wagon pieces and built a giant factory on top of this hill at the Cahuenga Pass, and now they had converted it to a restaurant.
This I just copy and pasted the bio and hadn't read it till right now. My little thing says C.L. Womp Hopper.
I was going to ask what the name was.
It's C.L. Womp Hopper, a legendary slick talking wagon salesman who invented wheeling and dealing.
Whoa.
This character invented the general notion of wheeling and while dealing.
Great grandfather.
He's your great grandfather? You have so many connections to this place.
Wow.
Yes, he. I'm with him right now.
You sound proud.
Yes, I'm so proud of the. He was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
In this chocolate place is piss on his grave.
Oh well,
You want him? You want him like remembered and?
I want him honored.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Boys, promise me. One day you'll reopen the Womp Hopper.
Oh, I'll make that promise.
Wait, Nick, you were quick to make that.
Yeah, I'll make that promise.
Oh, okay.
You can do it.
Yeah, I can do it.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it.
I mean, there's an old saying in L.A., you know, in the biz, that if you want an easy go of it for a little while, try to open a restaurant in L.A. County.
At CityWalk.
At CityWalk, potentially.
Location.
I feel like C.L. Womp Hopper. Am I getting the name right?
It's Hopper.
Womp Hopper. Excuse me.
Womp Hopper.
C.L. Womp Hopper. I feel like he probably is related to like other deceased characters from different, you know, shopping and dining experience centers, like Meriwether Pleasure,
mm-hmm.
or even
TGI
Marvel
Friday.
TGI Friday, or even just because I want to say the name Marvel McFay from Astroworld.
Yeah, yeah. And do you find, are you looking at a photo of him from somewhere? Because there are photos of him.
I'm bringing him up. I have not seen the photo. I'll do it in real time.
You're right on the money, because would you believe that he is a bearded man in a top hat?
Of course I believe that.
And
is this him?
Yep. And who else does he remind you of?
Imagineer Joe Rohde.
Close, but
are you gonna say Stan Lee from the Marvel Mania menu?
No, I'm still not. You're all wrong. The original top hat, old timey beardo in theme
Dream
park
Finder.
Yeah. And when this restaurant opened, who was hired to play C.L. Womp Hopper?
Oh, wow.
But Ron Schneider, the original actor
who played
Dreamfinder.
Holy shit.
Literally the same man.
Wow.
And he's just playing him. He isn't C.L. Womp Hopper,
right.
Who obviously was a real man, who you, the sector keeper.
Yes, yes. But he did him justice.
Oh, well, that's
so he
that's
did him
good.
Justice.
He played him well, yes.
You aren't, his good. Portrayal was not piss on the grave.
No.
Here's a photo of Ron Schneider that's also came up in the search results. Mm-hmm. He's holding Figment the Dreamfinder.
He's a whimsical guy.
Wow.
So yeah, this I really wish I could have experienced this place. A restaurant with a plot, obviously, always up my alley. Aesthetically, like it's this like fake rusted out tin shack, but then you go mm-hmm. in there and it's 9 rooms.
It's huge.
So massive.
It's so big. Mm-hmm. Also, they made a point of using reclaimed barn wood to construct it, I read, and corrugated tin roofs, just like back in the day.
I'm looking at the picture.
The love shack.
And it looks like they're tin roofs, but the roof is made to look like it's wood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I wrong? Like that's what I'm getting from the.
It's mixed
just
materials.
Kinda, yeah, mixed materials.
But then you go inside, and it's brass, and it's bricks, and it's dull 80s browns and Tiffany lamps and all the stained glass, all the shit
it's
I
like
love
if
to
you
swim in.
Were
I, it's
watching,
beautiful.
It is
if you
amazing.
Were watching the movie version of Hello Dolly and just ran face first into the TV screen. That's what Womper's Wagon Works looks like. And so that lasted 81 to 86. Then it became Womp's. It still became Womp's Restaurant.
Like how Hooters tried to become Hoots.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wompers became Womps.
Womps lasted 86 to 88, and then it got taken over by an old friend of ours, Tony Roma's, in 1988 to 1995.
As we said, one of the only establishments to make the City Walk jump to mm-hmm. be put in a different location.
Yeah.
But this one's the one in my heart. I was finally recalling it with Eva Yeah, that's my Tony Romas.
Wow,
did you ever make it to that one, or do you have like a first Universal Studios memory or early?
Well, I definitely remember like Hard Rock was. I remember being young enough to be impressed by the Hard Rock Cafe.
sure.
I was floored by that.
Yeah.
So that was probably my like they've got all this memorabilia. Holy cow! Mm-hmm. I also remember a big thing that my friends and I would do because we were in high school, but like we didn't like rap rock is we would go to BB King's House of Blues but to hear the music. So we'd go there and I think we had a substitute teacher who played harmonica there and we fucking idolized him. We thought it was so fucking cool. We would go there. We did see the Scottlights played there, which was like sure. fun, but we would often be at BB King's House of Blues.
Wow. That's
funny because we've covered that one and I don't even think of it as a place anyone would have gone to.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But we were those kids. You know what I mean? We kind of appreciated good music.
Oh, so you must have gone to that baked potato down at the bottom of the hill.
We got bad expensive baked potato, but it was so, I mean, that place is so fucking expensive though. I mean, it is
the club, the baked potato.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about it. I know its reputation.
It's like
it's at the base of the hill, right, off of Blair, mm-hmm, in the Cahuenga Pass,
right,
a legendary jazz place.
Yeah, but I think it's like there's like, I mean, I maybe this is, I was in high school and maybe the entry fee was even $3, which seemed prohibitive to me, but I remember it seemed really expensive. But we would also go to, there's a place, Charlie O's, which is again now a fallen brother, in the valley. We would go there, but there was actually like a time where there was like a pretty good amount of like jazz, and you know, if you were
you were a high school jazz cat.
You very were like consciously a, like very
a,
consciously
like a Ryan Gosling La La Land
yes
kind of
exactly
guy
now before. It would be problematic. Now would be like stop
stay away from the
right
at the time. All right, so they gave you your jazz fixings.
They gave us our jazz fix. That's our blues nice. Fix over there, totally.
But this Roma is also, I found, like aesthetically perfect.
Well, they kept a lot of the original building, but then there was also some Roman columns, right?
It's like weird. It's
two styles mushed together. It somehow looks smaller than Womp Hoppers, but I don't think that's right.
Womp Hoppers.
This is the photo of that restaurant is something I would like just stare at for a full 60 seconds just to like take me back to that time.
Sure.
And it reminds me of how like it's the kind of, it's a lot like I took a trip to a mall in outside of Toronto where Mean Girls was shot, any of the mall scenes in Mean Girls, and it's so locked in time, like perfect of this dull late 80s aesthetic. And I showed, right after I'd been, our friend Danny Jelinek, I showed photos of this mall, and I showed him like four or five, and he was like, I don't know what you're showing me. I don't know why these are photographs worth being redisplayed. Like, I don't know what you're seeing, and I don't blame him. I don't.
Yeah.
But do you know what I'm with this photo, that logo, that sign?
Well, you actually went to this place too.
I did. Yeah,
so that's another added element.
It's my Schomburg
Mall.
But
what I think what you're actually describing is what I was talking about on the Pleasure Island episode, where mm-hmm. I was reading through people's memories and looking at their photos of it. I have obviously some memories mm-hmm. of Pleasure Island too, but I didn't live my teenage years there or my early 20s there. But by the end of it, I had this deep nostalgia for a place that I never was.
Wow. Yeah.
I felt I was living right. this youth that these people had, and they were also like, they loved it, and you could mm-hmm. feel it with reading their writing and looking at the photos. So it's like the same thing what you're describing. I think it's similar. There's a similar thing of like, it reminds you of a place, and it's like, it's probably really just we're like remembering being a kid, or like
it's,
that's really
it's
all
tied
it is.
Up in that, though. I bet there was less of a culture surrounding the Tony Romas, if I had to guess.
Slightly
but
less.
Pleasure Island seems like it had a big culture. All the like the Knots and Disney dance clubs seemed
yes.
like they had it, and people like these Facebook groups are crucial for everybody like pooling their memories, and there's real community in these theme park places.
You're mentioning this is a quick Universal Studios, but off of movies. But I remember this time I was in middle school. And we went to the movie theater, like the Universal, like the AMC there or whatever. This was mm-hmm. one of the first times I went. Like I was, I don't know, maybe like 13 or something like that. We went with a group. My crush Ariel Fortune sat next to me, and I was so floored. And I was so fucking nervous that she sat next to me.
So you would say Fortune favored you that night.
Ready for the bowl.
Nothing from that.
You make me weak.
Fortune favored me. Air Fortune sat next to me. I got a large, like Mr. Pibb or something like that, or like Dr. Pepper or whatever. I put it in my seat. Before the movie starts, Ariel turns to me. She goes, "Oh, like, can I have some of your soda?" And I just panic and I just go, "It's empty." But it wasn't empty. It was completely full. It was completely full. And so I just didn't touch it the entire movie. I don't know why I panicked. I just said no.
Oh, no.
I don't know what I thought was going to happen. But yeah, and then at the end of the, she watched me as I picked up clearly a full. Oh. And threw it entirely away.
Nick, that's actually a very alpha move. And you're really going to turn that. You really could have turned that into something.
If I not like lied, just bizarrely lied and denied both of us, said, if I just said no, that would have been.
Oh man.
You could have been married. Wait, Ariel Fortune?
Yes, Ariel Fortune. Yeah,
in
yeah.
an alternate universe, yes. You're married to Ariel Fortune, touring the country in low rent trumpet clubs.
That's
tempted by trumpet heads left and right. Yes. Tempted by trumpet groupies.
Please, I can't. I have Ariel at home.
Yeah.
you're just in Chicago.
Yeah.
Look, I know I'm passable at the trumpet, but I can't. Right.
I cheat on her once. I come home. I'm just a little quieter.
How was your trip?
Good.
Fun, yeah.
It was fun. It was good.
Nothing to write home about.
It'd be selfish to tell her.
That's what you learned from the guys on the road.
That's what I learned from the guys.
That's the road.
This ice storm cometh-esque drama that's playing out with your other life.
Well, you know what wasn't in the cards for you with your trumpet career was being a country star.
Mm. Yeah. Country star. That's probably not the most interesting in my mind restaurant to occupy.
What do you know about country star?
So country star, and we alluded to this very early on in this series, country star was the attempt to make a Planet Hollywood-esque, Hard Rock Cafe-esque restaurant solely focused on country music, which mm-hmm. is very funny because at the same time there is right across from it, which we'll get to later, the Marvel Mania restaurant, mm-hmm. which was an attempt to make a Hard Rock-esque restaurant mm-hmm. based on the Marvel Comics properties. Mm-hmm. Country Star was owned by a number of famous country musicians. Does someone have the list?
I do right here.
Of yeah.
Country music superstars including Vince Gill, Winona Judd, Reba McEntire, and TV hosts Lorraine Crook and Charlie Chase.
I know all of them.
You do? Wait, so that's pop culture though. Before you were...
Yes.
Oh, okay, because they've been popular death. So long.
You're putting the clues together, Michael.
Thank you.
You know what? You know Garth Brooks, right?
Oh, well.
Yeah, he was before your...
And Chris Gaines.
Oh, you did get to experience...
I met him as Chris Gaines.
Oh, okay. You went back the
and
other
then
way.
And I taught him as Garth Brooks.
Chris Gaines... I would like if in a little wing of the Country Star Cafe, there was like the Chris Gaines Blue Room. It's a little like sad,
you
mopey jazz.
Request that ahead of time on your reservation. Country Star, to me, the outside of the building is nearly not it's unrecognizable because they built giant facades that look like jukeboxes in front of it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't necessarily associate with country music.
Yeah.
What's it like, doo-wop? That might be like kind of more of Johnny Rockets.
I think of it as like Johnny Rockets, American Graffiti, mm. like the 50s that didn't really exist, but we in our imagination it did.
Mm.
They had a roadhouse. They probably had a jukebox, though.
I guess that's true.
That being said, the old the Wop Hopper looks like it could be Country Star.
They're, yeah,
like that actually looks more probably like what you would think.
They went backwards, and not to jump ahead, but then they removed the jukeboxes for Saddle Ranch,
right.
And it just went back to being a rusted out shack. So what was the point of this?
It's weird. I wish I went to this because I don't know if you have this over on your thing. They had a menu that's fantastic. They don't have the full one here, but for instance, you could get Reba McEntire's garden vegetable pasta or Winona's hickory smoked chicken.
Very clever names.
Or the Vince Gill cheeseburger.
Vince Gill cheeseburger.
You know, like that is what I want from one of these restaurants.
Clever like, sounding cheeseburger names will come up again on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Last hour.
But I think Hard Rock seems to have less of that. They think they used to a little more, but you don't get like the Joe Perry macaroni or something. But that's what I want. I want everything named. There's a few, I think.
Every now and then, I feel like they have a seasonal menu, like that's the quarterly menu or something, where it's just like Pitbull spicy chicken wings.
There was a There was a restaurant,
Mr. Worldwide's Wide Mouth Club.
Oh man, I want to have that now.
Yeah.
That's one of my great theme park regrets when I was in Orlando last year, is not buying the limited edition Pitbull Mr. Worldwide t-shirt that was only being sold at Hard Rock Orlando.
Have you seen the video classic comedy clip of Pitbull and Jimmy Fallon playing giant beer pong while the the Simps outside of Moe's, while all the Simpsons characters, including the Simpsons and Sideshow Bob, standing next to each other, all cheer him on. And it opens with this great little like skit in Moe's, like, "You're Mr. Worldwide, huh? Well, I bet you can't do beer pong though. No, that's where you're wrong. All right, let's do it." it's the most mumbled sketch I've ever seen.
I know we still have a year plus left, but I feel like that's going to be the most representative piece of 2010s culture. It's Pitbull and Jimmy Fallon playing giant beer pong while the silent cast of The Simpsons
raise their arms.
Yeah, raise their...
while Gil the salesman...
No, Gil the salesman became president.
At this Country Star, they would have like the outfits worn by your favorite country super. Did you ever go, by the way?
No, I missed this. No.
Do you remember it even being there?
I think I might vaguely remember that.
Yeah. But you could, there was a monitor that you could touch, and you could choose between reading a biography of the star, listening to an interview, or watching the music video that the clothes were worn in.
Biography, please.
Jeremy, we're being seated. Let's go.
I want to read about the Judd family.
Jeremy,
the first family of country music.
How many
music.
Pages is this? How many?
Man, this and the premiere was the opening of this restaurant was attended by Loretta Lynn, Charlie Pride, Hoyt Axton, Diamond Rio, Wayne Gretzky, and Little Richard.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
You know, so. What? That reminds me. We didn't have time. We somehow missed this in the Tony Roma's episode. But there was. Let me see. Let me try to pull this fact up. The when it was a Tony Roma's, there was an event that was like there was a rib eating contest that happened up here just while we're talking celebrities in this location. I'm really glad I could go backwards and fit this in. In this Tony Roma's, this the fifth annual celebrity rib eating contest. hopefully we all together can participate in the
next one,
the 31st whatever. Yeah, whenever they do
chocolate again. Covered I ribs.
What?
I promise to hold a rib contest if you save.
Oh yay, man! We have so many incentives to give you what you want.
On the other side of the space bridge, Daddy Yankee will serve you ribs.
And we can wipe up the sauce with the Pope's robes.
Yes.
He doesn't mind.
The winners, if you were wondering, of the celebrity rib eating contest were five stand-up comedians, Monty Hoffman, Bill Fox, Tom Tenniek, Al Cleethon, and Greg Goldman, who together called themselves Comic Rib Leaf.
Oh wow.
So many celebrities.
So
hung
it was a
out.
Team. You had it was a rib eating contest, and you had a team.
Yes.
So it was
the cumulative five. Yeah, how many ribs could a group of five eat?
In a nod to Comic Relief, they also gave the money to a charitable cause, but their charitable cause was their family court lawyers. Their bankruptcy lawyers from the stand-up bust.
Jason roasting Comic Rib Leaf.
Take that. Okay, so, and then after Country Star, this became Then it became the Saddle Ranch, yeah. Which is a longtime fixture of the Sunset Strip. One of the sleazy in the best ways locations
horrifying by the Riot House. I don't know if you guys passed by that, but the mannequins are horrifying outside of that. They're just like their skin, like they're like weird sallow skin. It's
let's make sure to show it the proper respect. It is called the Saddle Ranch Chop House.
It is. Oh boy, I have one story about this, which is I was hanging out on my in my tour guide summer. I was hanging out at the Saddle Ranch one night, and I was new to I was newly 21, and I was trying drinks I hadn't had, and so I was somewhere where I'd had a mojito, and I thought that's fun with some mint, and you know that's new to me. So I went up to the Saddle Ranch bartender and I said, "I'll have a mojito, please." And he was like, "Oh yeah, cool, that's good, that's real great. I got news for you though, buddy. We're drinking man drinks tonight." He rejected my order.
Wow.
He mocked, which to me, a mojito, while sweet, still you can taste the alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. That to me isn't the ultimate example of like froofy girl drink.
Also, like when it's hot in the middle of the summer, like that's a perfect drink.
It'll be so sweet on these parsed lips.
I'm sure that's what Hemingway was drinking in Cuba. Well, that and rum daiquiris and
You could easily kill yourself with mojitos.
I'm upset. I remember ordering like a vodka cranberry, and my friends were like, "A red drink? We don't have, don't order something with like a bright color." That's not what you do. That's not what a man does. This was like, really?
This was your origin story. As ever since then, you've only drank the brightest color drinks.
Right. I scan the menu for the most neon color, the most unnatural color. And then I want to drink as much of it as possible.
If it has five of the colors, that is the best. Good for you. Fuck those guys and fuck this bartender and fuck Sinatra, and then sorry to the person who complained in the iTunes reviews that we swear too much.
I never went to Saddle Ranch, but I feel like it was a few years living out here until I realized, because my knowledge of it was that it's where people went in West Hollywood to get fucked up, and I didn't really have a bearing on the one at Universal City. I don't think it was till family was out visiting. They're like, "Oh, we could go to this barbecue place." Like, we were up there, and then we ended up somewhere else anyway. But I feel like it was a while before I realized, like, other than the name Chop House in the title, that it's like, oh, they have food. You can eat there. Because I don't think I had ever. And then I remember the last few years of Saddle Ranch, they had a lot of signs about, like, weekend brunch. Come have brunch at Saddle Ranch.
The one on Sunset, I think a lot of people. Like, there was people that moved out here that I think have maybe moved back since that I knew, and they would be at like Saddle Ranch on Sunset every week.
Wow.
Like once a week or something. That was the place, which I guess I've been there once on Sunset. The one at Universal I've only went to once, and it was after Avengers Age of Ultron, and the writing was on the wall for Saddle Ranch because there was no one there. The mechanical bull was not working. Or it was not on. They didn't plug it in, maybe. And it was like, that was actually the first time I had been in that one, and you were like, there are over 30 empty rooms in this establishment.
Jesus, so many.
So many rooms.
They were not filling that space like old Womp Hopper.
Yeah.
They didn't have many a wagon to wheel and deal.
And Saddle Ranch, the biggest problem is that there was no character, you know, to represent it. There was no J.H. Saddle.
Grandpa.
Mr. J.H. Saddle. Oh, that was a...
No, Grandpa.
Oh, Swamp Hopper.
Somebody like him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they had a whimsical bearded character that guy, what's his name, Ron, could play.
Yeah.
Deserted, where I sleep. I sleep quiet, deserted.
So in the time when it was doing bad, that was okay for you because there was a free room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That you could use for
nice and quiet.
You tried doing that at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, but there was just so much laughter.
It was too loud.
Too loud.
Too loud. Sides hurt.
I mean, is that what we have to say about the Saddle Ranch?
I think. Did you have a wild night there with your Universal employee?
No,
friends?
I got disheartened when my drink choice was complained about.
Did that change you were you then self-conscious going forward in the next couple of years of ordering a mojito or not beer or not whiskey or something?
I'm not sure I've ever had a mojito since then.
So, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
it's
delicious. Yeah,
I was really liking the drink, and now that guy is like over my head like a specter going tisk tisk.
This answers a big audience question, which is why doesn't Scott drink mojitos?
We had a breakthrough
so now what we know we have to do is we have to go to Disneyland. We have to get you nice and loaded on mojitos, and then we go on every launch coaster and Splash Mountain.
Yep,
and conquer it all in one day.
I think they'll help. I think the mojitos will give me strength, just as completion of sectors does the sector keeper. Yeah.
And hopefully, like a
1-to-1 equivalent.
Hopefully, Captain Hook comes up and sees you with the mojito when he points and you have, like, a flashback or something.
Well, if it was my most feared character, the big bad wolf with the big dangly tongue, then I'd never get on a ride or drink a mojito again.
He's not in California Adventure, at least right now, so you're only going to probably run into, like, the Incredibles, which they don't care if you have a mojito.
Yeah, they're chill.
Dash just comes up and humiliates you.
Edna Mode could maybe sort of, like, give you, like, a tisk tisk or something.
Yeah, she'll put you on blast.
So the lamp will shake its lamp head and the light will just go across your face.
I don't want the walk around look. So.
It's kind of ambiguous, but Scott takes it very personally. No, it's at me!
No, the light!
The light, sign. It's at me!
I think it was stationary. I don't think it moved at all. I can't go on this quick launch.
Just don't bring it into the pre-show for Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
What's that drink you're drinking there? Is that a mojito?
Hey.
You better not bring that on the gantry lift.
I may be a raccoon, but even I know that ain't a man drink.
Yeah, we drink
a man drink. Scott foiled from having a nice summer by toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it's around every corner.
All right, well, let's talk about the... Oh, do you have something?
Well, what I want to hit before we get... Yes.
He's sick, I think.
Go ahead.
I think we're all moving it along. We're all trying to. But really, because I know we have a lot to say about the final topic, but I want to say really fast first that the area... The restaurant venue that this thing moved into was initially built to be something called Victoria Station.
Yes.
I want to make sure we hit Victoria Station.
It kind of gave me some more perspective on the creation of City Walk. Besides Victoria Station, which was like a trolley station themed restaurant, then you could take a little trolley to from the parking lot.
It took you up the hill.
It took
a
you
little train.
Up the hill. So that was there, and then there was also that Chinese restaurant.
I
forget the name of.
I asked my dad today if he had any City Walk memories I should share, which is where I remembered like them going to Toto or whatever. And he said, "Oh yeah, well I did go to that Chinese restaurant, which was real nice. But we were leaving there one time, and my mom fell."
Oh. You have all these traumatic family stories attached to restaurant locations.
My dad's dad had a heart attack in what became a Bubba Gump, and my dad's mom tripped and fell outside of the Chinese restaurant. My dad is cursed when it comes to chains. That's why he sticks with Applebee's and Applebee's only.
So Victoria Station, the Chinese restaurant, Womp Hompers, a movie theater.
Hoppers.
So there's also. I'm never going to say it right. I don't know why. I got in my head reading about it that there was an M in there and had it wrong in my notes.
It's like Flop Gloppel from the E.T. character Flop Gloppel from the E.T.
I'm
ride.
I'm probably thinking of the Flop Gloppel.
Yeah, you're confusing Womp Hompers and Flop Gloppel.
So there's all these disparate businesses scattered around.
Not that close to each other.
Not that close to each other. And it took them years to think like, maybe we should... put up a pathway and some signs and a couple others.
Maybe
things
people
up here
shouldn't just be climbing unpaved hills to get to these different restaurants. But I do think City Walk circa or pre City Walk circa 82 or whatever would have been my jam, because Wom Poppers seems great to me.
Yeah.
The Chinese restaurant looks beautiful. It was sitting there like unoccupied for decades, and now they're building a hotel there. Mm-hmm. But it was like it was beautiful from the outside. Yeah. And then Victoria Station, which I didn't go to, but my wife went to, and I texted her if she had any memories, and she said it was the epitome of elegance in my 6-year-old eyes. She loved Victoria Station.
Wow.
And apparently Victoria Station, an extremely popular chain all over the country and in Canada, and specifically the Universal location, their most popular location, and at one point one of the highest grossing restaurants in the country.
Wow.
It was a train-themed restaurant in general, as he says. You could eat in a train car. Aaron swears that it was superior to fellow L.A. Carney's, which is also a train restaurant. So the king of the train chains. Other than that, I don't know much about it. Other than I watched an ad, and the prime rib looks amazing. The shrimp Victoria looks divine.
Cool.
I bet they had excellent mojitos. And Johnny Cash sang in their ads. And get ready to gasp, guys. No matter what you ordered, at the end of the meal, a free mini rainbow sherbet ice cream on a mini cone.
What else would you want?
Could Heaven. You have Toby Keith kebabs?
All right, there was one thing I didn't have. Every restaurant has something to bring to the table.
So wait, so at one point there were two train-themed restaurants. Was Carney's with that same time?
Yeah. And there were multiple. There was a Carney's on Sunset, too.
And
you probably grew up near the other Carney's, right? Yeah. Were you fond of that?
It was fine. Even as a kid, I was like, this is fine.
Well, don't forget the two dining cars, the Pacific Dining Car restaurants in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
What? Maybe I didn't go to those.
Oh,
they're still around.
Yeah, it's like a 24-hour steakhouse. There's one downtown. Oh, I think there's one in Santa Monica.
Let's and of course, Coal Mongers, my favorite.
Order that black lung hot fudge sundae.
Black lung hot
fudge. They make it with chocolate ice cream and chocolate whipped cream, so everything's dark.
The thing about Victoria Station that why was this of interest to me, but it still is, the idea that there could be a restaurant that you could enter from the park or from outside the park. Why can you give me any reason why I find that interesting? But I do.
Well,
and anything like that, I remember thinking, oh, so you'd be able to, like the Rainforest Cafe outside Animal Kingdom, oh, you can go inside or outside. That's not interesting. Why do I think that's interesting?
Because I think as a kid, the walls of a theme park truly feel like you're going into another dimension. So the idea that
you
there
are.
Was
yeah
you know exactly. Astral planes
that there's
stuff.
Some transparency that you can see through the facade.
So you know, like, oh, we get a ticket and then I go through the turnstile. But the idea that, like, it would be like almost like being in two states at once.
Oh yeah, being in four corners of the state.
Like that, the four I think states. That's sort of, you're like, oh, I'm in the park, but I'm not in the park.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a succinct. Right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Perfect way to put that. Yeah, I agree. It is interesting.
A liminal space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With its zombies are neither dead nor alive.
Well, and like, also
much like my life.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're trapped in a Marvel Mania Victoria Station-esque situation, which is also a little bit like Tom Hanks in The Terminal. My selected movie for the CityWalk movie meal deal.
The Terminal?
Oh, you'll get
oh,
there.
It's
I know right now you are Terminal, but soon you
Man,
will
Man, you got
get
Terminal
to
get
terminal.
Caught up while you have Larry Crown to get caught up with?
So many great Hankses, and of course Forrest Gump. Which inspired the restaurant in your home.
We're gonna have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you have a beautiful life once you're free. But the only way to get you free is to keep plowing ahead. So let's get into it.
Yes, you're giving me great strength.
A fellow astral plane splitting restaurant. Feel free, gentlemen.
What replaced Victoria's Station? Probably one of the main theme park things I am sad I didn't get to go to. The Marvel Mania restaurant.
Yes. Nick,
you're here for a very specific reason.
That's
you
right.
told me this offhand at an event. I think we had like scribbled down like, oh yeah, we should mention Marvel Mania in that sector stuff that's not there
and
anymore. And you, when I said we were doing City Walk.
Yeah.
you told us that you had direct experience with Marvel Mania.
Yes, I had my 12th birthday party. My twin brother and I had our 12th birthday party at Marvel Mania, which was open for like a year. So we were maybe, maybe there were maybe like 15 kids on Earth who were saying this.
Whoa. Right. Wow.
Yes, but we went, we gathered a group of friends. We went to Marvel Mania. It was incredible. I had a fucking blast.
That's amazing.
Now, my wife was on and she talked about her, I forget, maybe 11th birthday at Wizards at the Magic Club, and which sounded like an ideal, middle school age birthday.
Right.
But I would like, I'd like to hear more details about yours. I'd like you to one up my wife as much as possible.
Let me ask you this: did Storm serve your wife?
I mean, wizard came by the table.
What about a weather wizard? Storm served us. We were fucking stoked. One of the things I remember, they were just like for some reason they really thought that comic books meant like cryo chambers, so there were just like a ton of these like cryogenic like everywhere. There were just a ton of them. They housed fake memorabilia. I think again, like kind of like Hard Rock Cafe inspired, but unfortunately, Marvel is in a fictional universe, and so they it'd be like Thor's hammer. No, it's not. But it was with the same reverence as if it was that, like the Avengers, like the Avengers signed their agreement to become the Avengers. That was like displayed as if it was.
Yeah, they all signed a contract.
Yeah, there was a contract. There was like the 5 points that they agreed to. Hulk signed, his signature looks like shit. Whatever.
Marked out each other's positions and how many points on the back end.
But that was displayed. And here's the thing. You know, one of the things that I think when people think about Marvel now, they probably think about the cinematic universe and how hugely successful. When I think of Marvel, I instantly think of $1 trillion. I think of what the pile would look like. But this was at the time where it was like this, where Marvel
this
was
not bankruptcy. Marvel. Marvel.
Yes, this is 2 years before X-Men, which is their first big like
movie.
Yeah, and
that's hit.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah, they thought this was, they started a restaurant division. They thought this was going to be a big hit. We talked a little about this, I think, on the Twister episode, but when Islands of Adventure was sending out preview stuff about like Islands of Adventure is opening, City Walk is opening in Orlando, three hotels, one of the restaurants named was Marvel Mania, and it never happened. It never got built there. This was the only one ever built. It was open for like a year and a half. Like it kind of limped across the over the year line. And it is, yeah, it's bankruptcy era Marvel. And Mike and I this was for me.
Well, were you, Nick, were you a big Marvel comics fan?
Definitely.
Well?
We were reading. I loved, this is like a deep cut, but Maverick was my favorite. He was like kind of in the Wolverine, kind of Weapon X universe. But we were definitely reading a ton of them. I remember one of my first memories, I remember I wanted to buy stock in Marvel at that time. Yeah. I was like a kid, but I had some money. My grandparents had like invested, and so I'd mentioned that to my grandpa, and my grandpa did a bunch of research and sent me a letter that said, "You cannot do this." It was Marvel.
I mean, if you had held on to it for 20 years,
It would have been insane.
Also around the time when like Stan Lee was talking to Michael Jackson about possibly buying Marvel
there
together.
There was a whole thing, because Stan Lee never owned Marvel. He was always work for hire, but there was like, they were going to dig together, and I'm sure with like mysterious sheiks, like pool together all their money and buy Marvel. Like, Marvel is such a bizarre history.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
And like, all of a sudden it became this, but it was never like, because Warner Brothers owned DC for so long, but Marvel was floating around, and then was owned by Toy Biz for a while, which rescued it from
Toy
bankruptcy.
Toy Biz was like who Marvel hired to make their toys, and then Toy Biz outpaced them and bought Marvel. And the lamprey still hanging on is Ike Perlmutter, who owns Marvel. He's a great friend of Donald Trump.
Yep. One of the CEOs who loves being with Trump. And there's only two photos of Mr. Ike Perlmutter that exist. One from either like the early 80s, late 70s, and one with Trump at Mar-a-Lago from a year ago.
Whoa.
The only like two photos you can find of
Ike
Perlmutter.
Then you're like, oh my God, there's a, he exists and he's there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. He loves Trump. They get along very well.
Notorious piece of shit. Famous for saying, like, we're not making girls superhero action figures, girls don't like superhero, like, girls don't buy this, like,
some, that's, by the way, just as a little segue there, that that philosophy comes through on the menu when you know, when we dig into the menu, because there's so many, like, you know, obviously they wanted to appeal to everyone, but you know, you've got like you know, Ghost Rider's ribs, that's a good one. I think that's a good themed connection. But then you can see you have Storm's Hurricane Shrimp, okay, but then you can see they've run out, instantly run out of like women superheroes. So then it goes to Mary Jane's Roasted Herb Chicken, and then, and then like, like, you know, Aunt May's, like they, they're just done, like, you know, like you could just see that.
Yeah,
it's Aunt, like, May has, where was it, a soup, I think.
Yeah.
Oh god.
May has, I look, there's, I have nine windows, I should have consolidated this, nine windows open with different parts of the menu.
There's yes
so much
and different types of menus. It looks like they cycled out of like what the menu was for, like they had one that looked more like a comic, and then they had one that looked more like,
I think there was a take-home one, so I had the adult menu, the kids menu, and then I think there was a second generation of the menu where they tried to make it a little nicer looking. But yeah, this is such an odd time. This is also after the bubble burst on the comic boom of the 90s. And like after Jim Lee had left the company, after all the Image founders went and started their own company. So Marvel lost like a lot of A-list artists.
Jim Lee.
I mean, I think there's some great, like, there is, it's very funny because this is kind of like, there's some standard Marvel house style in this, but then the pages of the menu with the X-Men are clearly like the Carlos Pacheco drawings of the time, and there's some like Chris Bacalo, and so there's like some,
are you sure that's not Mike Waringo art
of the X-Men?
I
don't, did Waringo draw the X-Men?
I don't know, but that looks a lot like a Waringo style to me more than a Pacheco.
I'm looking at a different page.
Let me see if I think it's Pacheco.
This is, yeah, just the way he drew.
That does look like Pacheco. Yeah. You're right. I Jason, I apologize.
I finally know what it would be like for a regular person to listen to any episode of this podcast.
Classic boys.
But then there's some very weird choices. So it's like very like late 90s Marvel art style and coloring, but the drink page looks like the letter columns of the 1980s. Like this was like what they would, where they would print letters and print like, check out this other book featuring the characters you
right.
Like it's kind of a, you could get Dom Perignon, you could get a bottle of Dom at Marvel Mania. My favorite detail.
Whoa, what's it costing you?
Bottle of Dom is $140.
Well, that's not a bad price for, on the for Dom 90, scale.
97, 98.
Who are you trying to impress? Who the fuck are you impressing at that table at Marvel Mania?
You're trying to impress the woman playing Storm.
Yeah.
Garcon. Do you have to, another thing about the drink menu, all the like section headers have an exclamation point at the end, so it says like domestic bottled beer.
That's right. They thought, they really did, whoever designed it thought that comic books just meant they loved fucking word bubbles.
It was
plastered in the fucking things. I remember the gift shop, by the way, the word bubbles just said Marvel stuff. And then exclamation points. It was those two things,
and they brag about like giant screens to watch Marvel TV and movies on, but at the time that meant the cartoon
X-Men, yes.
And the cartoon X-Men, and
so instead of sporting events, there's many TVs devoted
just
to
looping
old Marvel. I fucking loved it.
Do you have the shot list and the martini list over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
The negative zone.
Trade off. Have fun with it.
They were called web shooters, first of all, when you would get a small shot.
Cool.
Pretty good.
Which now I think they would not do that because they don't want like
kid-friendly
characters associated with liquor.
They want the kids ordering ice slides, which are their like smoothies, alcohol-free smoothies.
But the web shooters, you could get a Gamma Slamma. You could get a Clobber in Time. You could get an Adrenaline Shot. You could get a Nuclear Waste. Or you could get a Dimension Distorter.
Whoa.
And they were all in a take-home glass. And this is, I mean, this truly, as I'm reading it, is just my favorite restaurant.
I am amazed.
I've never been.
Unless I missed it, there should have been like one of those fish bowl drinks that you get like four straws in called the Ultimate Nullifier. Which is like, or the Cosmic Cube, like something to get you messed up. One of the Deus Ex Machinas from Marvel Comics, where it's like
they also. Yeah,
I love the idea of a tram driver just like kind of just had a fucked up day, and he goes, you know, like it's the closest place. And you're just like, yeah, Gamma Slamma. You know, it's like a real sad.
Tommy, are you sure you know what happened last time?
Yeah, all right, you fucking hero, Gamma Slamma.
The manager of the place should have been Uatu the Watcher.
But he can't interfere. He cannot interfere.
That's why he has someone go do it. But he's just sort of like the pit boss of the whole thing.
I'll bring you to. You know what Uatu's gonna fucking say? He's gonna say, just let him do it.
And then like somebody has to audition for Uatu, and it's like, you got to shave your head though. But like it. They're not gonna let you wear a ball cap.
My God.
Like, I don't know. It's worth it for the visibility.
Yeah.
There's some a very 90s detail to me the milkshake flavors and ice cream and desserts. There's a lot of Butterfinger crap.
Yeah,
Crunch is kind of everywhere on this menu.
Blastar's ballistic Butterfinger bread pudding.
That's also when you're getting to Blastar. You're getting to the Fantastic Four villain Blastar, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. There's some obscure ones. It's Swordsman, I think, is in here.
Oh, there's also the Two Gun Kid. Cheeseburger to me is going to be. We're thinking it's going to be like Wolverine, or like it's going to be. There's a heavy hitter. It's like Two Gun Kid. Or something.
That's bizarre.
If you guys even know.
Well, that's because they needed to distinguish between Cap's Battle Burger, which is on the kids' menu.
There it is. There it is. Yeah.
And they also have Vince Gill's cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That seemed very creative.
That's interesting. This is my favorite. This is my favorite of the menu. This is on the dessert menu. It just sounds like absolute shit. The Fin Fang Foom Fruit Fajitas.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Fresh fruit sizzling in a vanilla rum sauce served with chocolate tortillas, vanilla ice cream, and lots of yummy condiments.
Yeah, those delicious dessert condiments.
They don't even specify what the condiments are.
No. Last meal. Last meal.
I mean, it's very much a tour de force, too, of like 90s food. I mean, Blastar's Ballistic Butterfinger Bread Pudding.
Mm-hmm.
We really. Recently up at City Walk, I had a delicious banana bread pudding at Margaritaville, but the idea of taking bread pudding and just cramming a bunch of Butterfinger in it.
Yeah, Butterfinger was huge. I mean, like Simpsons crossover, like there's like Butterfinger BBs. No one better lay a finger on my Butterfinger BBs.
The what I was talking about earlier, the Michael Ringo drawn menu I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It says here, it's like, so it looks like a comic book. And it says at the top, absolutely no broccoli, spinach, or squash on this menu.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the kids menu.
Kids love that.
Kids love it.
Yeah. But then, and so like, Mighty Mutant Macaroni and Cheese and the X-Men, specifically the Gold Team, X-Men Gold Team members. That makes sense to me. The Champions Cheese Pizza. The Champions was like a obscure, like... team with Ghost Rider and Iceman and Black Widow and Hercules.
What was the Gold Team on?
The Gold Team is on the mac and cheese.
Oh, because the blue X-Men, Uncanny X-Men blue team is Uncanny X-Pasta.
Yes.
Mm. And that's clearly Gambit, Rogue, Beast, Cyclops, the classic blue team from the 90s. Nick, you know what I'm talking
about. Without a
doubt. Yeah. And then you have the Defenders Tenders, which is Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, Hulk, Namor. These are also like B-list teams from the Champions holds the distinction, I think, of being the first Los Angeles Marvel superhero team. The Champions were based out of LA, so I kind of get that.
They have the Dare Dog.
That sucks. I mean, that name just sucks.
This menu is I hadn't had it in front of me till now. It's the busiest thing I've ever seen.
There's 10 different menus.
There's multiple menus.
And this was open for a year, so they must have just turned them over so fast.
Right. I think they were letting you take home some of them because I found a lot of people like.
And then one day
it looked
like
a comic book.
Is there one left in your photocopy?
Stan Lee is on the cover of the kids menu in a top hat. This was a thing in the little corner box on Marvel Comics for a while. There would be Stan Lee as like a ringmaster figure.
That was also a nod to C.L. Wompopper, though, with the top hat.
He does look like Wompopper.
Yes.
No, this is Stan the Man.
It's Stan. You're right. Some of these are so busily drawn. Like some of them have like three items on an entire page just because there's so much happening.
Yeah, but then I pulled up another one where there's like 900 words on this menu. It's like this is headache induced. Coffee shop, supersonic shakes, love a drink called Love Tales.
I don't even know there, what would that be a reference to.
I think that is a Marvel romance title the 50s maybe. That also should be pointed out, the Mighty Marvel Spiceometer, and that is how you know how spicy hot spicy stuff is. And it's the Human Torch, and he's got a spark of heat is a little bit of fire, potent is a little more, and supernova is full human fire Human Torch. But I had to keep going back to that meter because like it's so hard to distinguish between like mild and medium.
In an unreadable font under that, a helpful guide to our taste bud tortures. It's like so hard. You can't read it small. It's really straining my phone.
And it only applies to like four menu items. Like it doesn't even come up that much.
How do you know that it's a... Okay. Elsewhere on the appetizer page, I see a little blue guy, but it's too small to see who he is. But he's next to the dish Gambit Sugar Cane Shrimp.
Oh my god, I didn't even see that. Where are you finding that?
It's a shrimp served on a sugar cane skewer.
I'm missing that one.
It's underneath the Rainbow Bridge Nachos. That's different than the Space Bridge.
What was it called again? The Papal
Space Bridge.
Space Bridge.
Daddy Yankee's Space Bridge.
Daddy Yankee's Papal Space Bridge.
The Gambit thing makes sense because he's from the bayou.
Yes. Rainbow Bridge to me seems like a Sherbert thing. Like, it's crazy to spend it on fucking nachos is insane.
The Fantastic Four also have two menu items.
Yeah.
Which they have the Fantastic Fries and they have the Fantastic, where was it? Was it pasta?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why would they? There's more characters.
I mean, they're the first family of Marvel Comics. World's greatest comic magazine. I think they've earned two slots.
Did you guys read Mutant Chicken Wings already? I feel like we've been doing this for 19 hours.
It's also very funny that it's Mutant Chicken Wings and the Human Torch is next to it. I feel like ridiculous.
20% of the menu so far.
We're not even close.
One of my favorites is Submariner's Deep Sea Suggestions.
Ask your server for the market price fish.
Oh my god, deep sea suggestion. Fucking incredible.
And of course, Doc Ock's Walk.
Doc Ock's Walk, because they used Shang-Chi Chinese tacos and Sunfire spring rolls to actual Asian Marvel Comics characters, so when they got to the walk,
they're
like, oh, that rhymes with Doc Ock.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't go with Iron Fist, who's famously a white guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you guys, but we haven't, we're missing the main thing, which is what the sandwiches are called. Do you know what the sandwiches are called?
The thing.
The Stanwiches?
They are called Stanwiches.
Nuff said.
Nuff said. And then the word
Excelsior.
All Stanwiches are served with our marvelous baked potato salad.
Clothes?
Yeah. No, I'm confused too, Sector Keeper.
Well, I went there for. We were talking. I must have got one of the sandwiches for my birthday or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
There was a little bit of drama that happened because I when they would come. So I think maybe because it was our birthday, but they came and there'd be like a little like gift basket thing at the end. It was like a bucket full of comic books. You would get that. I mentioned I loved Maverick, but this was the 90s, and one of the things was if you missed an issue of something, it wasn't super clear you would ever read it. At least for me, it was like I had three comic book stores I could go to. If it wasn't there, I was fucked. And that was the case for Maverick number 4. What happened was we got these buckets. I don't know what the fuck happened, but one of my friends, Wesley, got Maverick number 4 in his bucket.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And I was like, I could pull rank. I had this option that I could pull rank, but I was also, because of my Christian upbringing, I would never ask anyone for anything. I would never do it. So I was just staring at this fucking bucket while he just like absentmindedly flipped through it. Didn't say anything. The whole ride home, he was sitting next to me. I could see it in his fucking bucket. Didn't say shit. I got home and I just cried. I just could not ask for this.
This is sad.
Maverick number 4 or whatever.
And you were in an area like LA has always had a lot of comic shops.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But Maverick, the thing was, I think it was small enough.
And, yeah, that didn't run. I remember that, but that book didn't run. It was for a long time.
It was very small. And it just wasn't one that they were going to like keep a huge back. And you know, you might go to there were back catalogs that you could go through, but it might be like 1, 6, 8. For some reason, I just could not fucking find this issue.
Your Christian upbringing didn't prevent you from lying to Ariel about the soda.
See, even in that, I feel like that even can be traced back to just like my complete discomfort with any being around any like, you know, romantic situation.
That one's tricky because you did end up lying, which is against Christianity, but it was a situation where you liked a girl, which is forbidden.
But I did handicap myself in terms of getting a smooch or something like that. Yeah. I did smooch myself in my chastity.
I'm just realizing there's a dessert called Chocolate Carnage, which is the Spider-Man villain who is a psychopath serial killer. He's a
mass murderer.
Mass murderer.
Yeah.
Even before he became a supervillain, he was a killer in jail, and then Venom symbiote, a symbiote got him. And
is Venom on the menu anywhere? Or is chocolate just because it had a C at the start?
I guess it was a C. Yeah, that is surprising because Venom was a big 90s
thing. It's not even like a... It doesn't make visually. Sense.
I'm looking through the video of what you were talking... Nick, you're talking about the different artifacts. And what I'm going to do is I won't say what this artifact is. I'm going to show it to Jason. And Jason's going to announce one of the things you could view on display at Marvel Mania.
Ah, Namor's famous conch shell.
What? Namor's conch shell.
Oh my god.
It's a trumpet horn.
It's a trumpet horn. They just didn't know what was popular. You could just see Two-Gun Kid was held to the same standard as like Spider-Man. They just didn't
know.
They got a list. They didn't know which was more important.
No, it was just alphabetized.
I mean, Spider-Man, Captain America, and then they probably could have just filled it with the X-Men because they had the most exposure in the 90s. Yes,
absolutely.
Which is very sad to think about now that they have taken such a back seat because of like corporate dealings until like Disney owns the movie rights outright, then we'll probably see a renaissance of X-Men stuff.
It's all coming back now because they're good for the Fox deal, though.
If this restaurant opened today, if it was a pop-up on Hollywood Boulevard, the line would be 27 hours long.
Yes.
This would be the most popular thing that has ever occurred.
You could have a job or eat there. Yeah, it would be like, it would.
If you traded out with friends.
Yes.
Can you imagine, this would be like all that was Instagrammed about for the first month and a half of opening.
Yeah.
This more than any of all the things where we talk about Plus It Up or whatever, or an old thing that needs to come back, if this were brought back, it generates as much money as all of the Marvel movies do individually. This is such a killer. This needs to occur.
Right.
And they probably would update the aesthetic and make it reflect more of the current state of Marvel, but obviously I would love if...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The thing is, and I hate to say this even, but I don't know that Disney would open a tacky restaurant version of this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Because like the only way I think it's going to open is it opens in Disneyland or California Adventure specifically. It can't open in Florida because of the deals. So like Disney controls it. So we may get like a much more theme. We might dine with Doctor Strange in the Sanctum Sanctorum.
There's rumors of a microbrewery coming to California Adventure on the Avengers.
Oh, is that right?
I saw a rumor that like because they're opening Marvel stuff in California Adventure that it will be an Avengers West Coast campus, which includes a microbrewery restaurant.
Whoa,
really? It's there on site. Microbrewery?
Can you whisper to me off mic where you got this rumor?
Disney Tourist Board.
Oh, I don't read that.
That's a little trustworthy, though, isn't it? A lot more than Bumper Car
Reliable.
Boys.
Yeah.
If this were a Bumper Car
good,
Boys,
good
you get
instincts.
The fuck out of here.
Good instincts. I'll send you the link. I swear we had talked about that.
These fucking liars at Bumper Car Boys.
Yeah. Thank God it's none of them. I mean, look, it wasn't the time, and I am grossed out by the aesthetic and many of the things that they have, but you do a Marvel restaurant with puns and stuff today.
Forget it.
You're saying that the full, like, classy Disney version, absolutely, like, in the parks, but if they did this in that Saved by the Bell, bad version of this would be...
Yes, it would be amazing, and people would love it. I'm just saying I don't know that Disney would let it go now. That's my problem. I'm just saying that they might not even allow that to happen because of the prestige of the brand.
Well, they're letting go of $1 billion and they're making a big mistake.
That's kind of the tragedy of this place, right? Is it opened kind of like just maybe a year too soon? Because I really do think those X-Men movies were huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It really does seem like it was just like kind of like this poorly timed
and
thing.
And the aesthetic of it is obviously still alive in Orlando and in the Marvel superhero island at Islands of Adventure.
And I hope it never changes.
I know. Jason wants it to not change.
I want it
from
to never evolve.
Being a monument to 1996.
It might not legally be allowed to.
Well, there's going to be wheelings and dealings if the Fox deal goes through with maybe trading things. So who knows?
Well, hopefully somewhere in the shuffle, because I'll say I think they did a bad job. And I wasn't a comic book kid, if I haven't conveyed that, and I remember seeing Marvel Mania in the parks, and I just didn't, nowhere had ever done a good job of letting me know why I should care about any of this. And I just saw like horrible gaudy colors, and there was nothing luring me in. And yeah, probably not till X-Men they figure out how to reach out to the non-comic reader.
My favorite thing of some of the walk-around characters, other than like the face characters, look like you'd expect them to look, but like the Iron Man suit in like a display case, or if he was walking around, was real puffy. Like it was always so puffy, like so like they're muscle guys and they're puffy.
That toxic masculinity kind of creep, like, you know, even the Captain America, like he's disgustingly buffed out. Like it's nuts. Like it was like this whole like the steroid obsession of these like superheroes, where like the pecs that were like like past their shoulder, you know, it was just awful.
Yeah, and that basically what they did was like, oh, okay, some guys draw them like this, so let's make the costumes like this. On the menu, you can see the different art styles where like some of them clearly draw them a lot leaner, like runners. And then some of them, it's just such caricature, exaggerated caricatures.
I want to talk to the Sector Keeper real quick, because on display in Marvel Mania, and maybe he has some more information, and maybe how this relates to a set of stones. This was the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes.
Which also contained six different stones.
Yes. Oh.
Yes, inspired me. My final birthday was at Marvel Mania.
Oh, you were in the same run as Nick.
Yes, I remember seeing you.
You saw me?
Yes, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. You guys share the same birthday.
Yes. Thanks, dude. Oh, my God.
Yes. Wow. My last clear memory is of Namor's shell.
Oh. His conch shell.
And that's the stone.
Yes.
The stone for the sector has appeared.
Yes,
it's Namor's conch shell.
It was conch.
Boys, and look closely. It's sitting on a little mechanical bull.
Oh, wow. Oh, I see it now.
And it's holding a little guitar.
Oh, neat.
Wow.
And it's signed by Chicago trumpet player Lee Lockney.
Yes. Yes. And he said something to you, Nick.
Yes.
He said, you made the right choice.
Yes, I made the right choice. I think I did.
Yes. Ariel would have left you no matter what.
Boys, you give me great strength. You have completed Sector 17. Gibson Amphitheater.
And you put the L in it again. That's okay.
It's like womp pomper.
You're becoming more human.
He's probably, I think he has to birth the stones from his throat.
Right.
And they're probably getting caught.
That makes a lot
caught.
Of sense.
He has two left.
Right.
And they're probably rumbling around right in there.
Marvel Mania in Saddle Ranch.
Yeah
we
and
did
Victoria
it.
Station and Womp Hoppers.
Yeah.
And
Tony Roma
Star and Tony Roma's.
Yeah.
There was a lot there. We're not getting out of this thing easy.
No.
These have been jam-packed sectors.
We didn't even talk. Nick, you've been working up around here. So
that's
So what are now your experiences before we go? Like,
oh, sure.
Of like living and working and playing,
we're,
as Jimmy
we're
Buffett
working
would
and playing,
say.
And then we write our office looks down on the tram tour.
Who's R? Who do you mean?
Oh, what's that?
Yeah. Who do you mean? We?
Oh, myself. My writing partner Anthony Gio. I think it's you.
Oh, past guest of the show. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while.
I wish we get him back.
But there was just a funny instance, because, you know, the tram stops and it's where like they play like the like Jimmy Fallon makes a joke about how he wishes Jurassic Park was, I don't know, whatever. It's like this, like there's this like video section, but there's that stop is right outside, and what happened is a tram stopped and they were shooting right beside it, and so the cast of SWAT came out and shakes everyone's hand on the tram ride. They are fucking stoked out of their minds. They can't believe everyone has their cameras out. They're shaking hands. They're like really being really good about it. But what happens is that tram takes off and there's a tram right behind it that I think they think the same thing is going to happen. They come up and SWAT. It's like, no, of course this was just like a one-time thing. So the second tram who has seen everything comes up, stops, and is just like the saddest. Like, they're so disappointed.
It's SWAT. It's Shemar Moore, yeah, Lita Shemar Esko, Moore. And Kenny Johnson.
Sector Keeper, when you're free, and when this 19-part series is a giant award-winning smash, you need to go make like the cast of SWAT and go say hi to a tram.
Yes.
They'll flip out. They'll flip. I don't think you're gonna arrive when you are alive again. You'll arrive to a world where this was received unbelievably, and where you're a household name and household face.
Oh, I would be so happy. As long as God allows it.
He will. He needs you to share your joy, just as John Paul II shared his joy across the Papal Space Bridge.
Yes.
You're going to I think, you know, you haven't experienced this, but the last couple of years in this country have just been a mess. And I think you, Sector Keeper, might be the key to solving all of it.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah, either way, you could be our savior, or yeah, you could be the Antichrist, and you could bring about the end times.
Yeah.
Well, either way, the problem gets solved.
Well, if we all have a belly full of Daddy Yankee's ribs, I think everything's going to be okay.
All right. Sure. Giving us a little hint about which direction it's going to go. Yes. Great.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, in a, you know, if we live each day like it's the last, and if we're, you know, striving for desserts of the quality of Blastar's ballistic butterfinger bread pudding, then I think it's all gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm. Nick, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mandernick. Do improv with JV Friday nights at 11, UCB Franklin.
Have Great. You ever seen them? Oh, you can't. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No,
you can't see improv anymore.
Right. He's missed the improv boom in general.
Yeah.
Wait. Yes.
It might be over though by the time this is over. Yeah. So.
Yes. UCB, Gangnam Style. It's all coming back to me.
Oh, you're probably seeing the UCB TV show, maybe one of the theaters, but they have several now.
Oh.
Yeah, so you'll get to experience all of those. The Target probably won't quite be done over on Western by the time he's you're alive, but a lot to look forward to no matter what. Mm-hmm. We did it. We're on the way out.
Only a few more left.
Nick, thanks for being
here.
Thanks
so much. Best of luck to you on those final two stones.
Podcast, The Ride. I forgot to say it.
Oh, cool.
You did it.
Hell yeah.
Exclamation point. Yes. Lots of zigzags around it, Marvel style.
Happy birthday again.
Oh, thanks. Happy birthday to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Happy birthday, man.
We'll be back tomorrow, and we're nearing the end. Mm-hmm. We're working the way down, and what will happen to our heroes in the last two issues?
Odysseus has almost returned to Ithaca to claim his rightful place.
I forgot to mention another one of these desserts real quick.
Yep.
Latverian strawberry shortcake.
Very good.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.